Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. New York, this is Democracy Now!
If you're watching this pre-recorded report, then Al Jazeera has been banned in the territory of Israel.
As the death toll in Gaza approaches 35,000, Israeli authorities take Al Jazeera off the air in Israel and order Palestinians in eastern Rafah to evacuate ahead of an Israeli offensive. We'll go to Doha to speak with Al Jazeera's managing editor, Mohammed Mulwan. And as the World Food Program warns, northern Gaza is experiencing full-blown famine. We'll get an update from Dr. Waleed Wasoud of the Palestine Children's Relief Fund in Amman. He's just returned from a medical mission in Gaza. Then graduation ceremonies begin on college campuses across the United States as students continue their protests calling for their schools to divest from Israel.
I apologize that this is not a typical graduation speech, but there is nothing typical about the times that we are living in. There is nothing typical about 15,000 children live streamed deaths being watched. And there is nothing acceptable about our institutional complicity, silence, or the gross misuse of police force nationwide.
We'll speak with a senior who is part of the graduation protest at the University of Michigan, and we'll go to the University of Virginia in Charlottesville. In 2017, neo-Nazis chanted, "Jews will not replace us there." We'll speak with a UVA student arrested Saturday after police in riot gear stormed a Gaza Solidarity encampment. All coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's ordered 100,000 Palestinians living in eastern Rafah to evacuate ahead of an Israeli offensive on the southern Gaza city, where more than 1.4 million displaced Palestinians have sought refuge. The UN aid agency, UNRWA, warned Israel's attack on Rafah would have devastating consequences and lead to more civilian suffering and deaths. Overnight, Israeli bombardments killed at least 26 people in Rafah, including 11 children.
We fled death and destruction, and we came to Rafah only to find destruction here. Do they want to kill us here? We came seeking safety in Rafah. Where do they want to send us? Where are we to go? The situation is so difficult. We're unable to describe the destruction that we are living in here. Someone feel for us and the tragedy we are living through.
The order to evacuate Rafah came a day after Hamas fighters fired rockets at the Karam Abu Salem crossing, killing four Israeli soldiers. This all comes as ceasefire talks appear to have stalled. On the humanitarian front, Cindy McCain, the widow of Senator John McCain, now the head of the World Food Program, told NBC that northern Gaza is in full-blown famine.
What I can explain to you is that there is famine, full-blown famine in the north, and it's moving its way south.
We'll speak to a doctor who just left Gaza about the full-blown famine. He's now in Amman. Protests continue on college campuses across the United States as students call on schools to divest from Israel. At the University of Michigan, students holding Palestinian flags briefly disrupted graduation ceremony Saturday as a plane flew overhead holding a banner that read, "Divest from Israel now, free Palestine." At Indiana University in Bloomington, some students walked out of Saturday's commencement and booed the school's president. Planes also circled above that ceremony carrying a banner with a Palestinian flag and the words, "Let Gaza live." At the University of Virginia in Charlottesville, police arrested 25 protesters who'd set up a Gaza Solidarity encampment. In Chicago, 68 people were arrested in an encampment outside the Art Institute of Chicago. New York police made 56 arrests early Friday after raiding student encampments at the New School and NYU. Riot police have also cleared a student encampment at USC, the University of Southern California. According to the Associated Press, police have now arrested more than 2,500 students at pro-Palestine protests. That includes 133 arrests on Thursday at SUNY New Paltz, that State University of New York, when police violently raided a student encampment. At the University of Mississippi, officials have opened a probe after video went viral showing a group of white counter-protesters harassing a black protester. One white student was seen imitating a monkey as he mocked her while others screamed, "Lock her up." Meanwhile, school officials at Evergreen State College in Olympia, Washington, have reached an agreement with student protesters and have vowed to work toward divesting from, quote, companies that profit from gross human rights violations and or the occupation of Palestinian territories, unquote. Evergreen College is the alma mater of Rachel Corrie, the American peace activist killed by an Israeli military bulldozer in Gaza in 2003. In Gaza, Palestinians have voiced support for the student protests.
My message for the American students is that we are extremely proud, and their protests and their solidarity with Palestine and with Gaza gave us a glimpse of hope. And they didn't leave us left alone. They didn't leave us feeling helpless.
In Britain, solidarity encampments have also been set up on the same day at Cambridge and Oxford. In other education news, Columbia University in New York is now under a federal investigation for anti-Palestinian discrimination. The Department of Education opened the probe after the group Palestine Legal accused the school of, quote, extreme anti-Palestinian, anti-Arab and Islamophobic harassment, unquote. Israeli authorities have taken Al Jazeera off the air inside Israel. On Sunday, police officers raided the network's Jerusalem bureau, seized broadcasting equipment. Israel's Foreign Press Association called it a, quote, dark day for democracy. The move came just 2 days after World Press Freedom Day. Over the past 8 months, Al Jazeera has been one of the only international outlets with reporters on the ground inside Gaza. We'll have more on that story, speaking with the managing editor of Al Jazeera in Doha after headlines. Tens of thousands of Israelis took to the streets Saturday in nationwide rallies calling for a deal to free the hostages and to hold early elections in Israel. Danny Elgart, whose brother is being held in Gaza, addressed the protest in Tel Aviv.
Bibi, we call you to reach a ceasefire deal which secures the release of all hostages. Ceasefire that secures the release of hostages. The war actually didn't end, Bibi, but know that the war ended. You can't lie to us. You are taking more time so you and Ben-Gvir can stay in power. You are taking more time so you will stay in power. You don't care about the 133 or 132 hostages. An operation in Rafah will cause the death of the hostages. You don't have a mandate to kill 132 citizens of Israel.
In Panama, Jose Raul Mulino, a last-minute standing candidate, was declared the winner of Sunday's presidential election. Mulino, Panama's former public security minister, was originally a vice presidential candidate and was only officially announced as a presidential candidate 2 days before voting after his running mate, the former president Ricardo Martinelli, was disqualified due to a money laundering conviction. Martinelli, whose presidency ended a decade ago, has been taking refuge in the Nicaraguan embassy since February due to his legal issues. He remains popular and has vowed to revive Panama's economy, take on drug cartels, and crack down on migration through Panama, including shutting down the treacherous Darien Gap. In southern Brazil, at least 78 people have died from major flooding after days of torrential downpours. Over 100 are still missing and tens of thousands have been displaced in the state of Rio Grande do Sul, where a hydroelectric dam collapsed and a lake broke its bank. This is a flood survivor who works at a local health center.
Everything's lost. There's nothing complete. I've been working here in this health unit for 23 years.
Here in the U.S., much of the Houston area remains submerged after a week of heavy rains. One five-year-old child was killed when the vehicle he was riding in was swept away by fast-moving water. In other news from Texas, Democratic Congressmember Henry Cuellar and his wife were indicted on federal bribery and conspiracy charges. They're accused of accepting nearly $600,000 in bribes from an Azerbaijani oil and gas company and a bank in Mexico. Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial is entering its third week of testimony. On Friday, Trump's former top aide, Hope Hicks, described efforts to do damage control in the weeks prior to the 2016 election following the release of the infamous Access Hollywood tape where Trump openly bragged about assaulting women. On Thursday, prosecutors played jurors a secret audio tape of Trump and his then-fixer, Michael Cohen, discussing a plan to pay off former Playboy model Karen McDougal to keep her silent about her affair with Trump. Police in Canada have arrested three Indian men suspected of assassinating the Canadian Sikh leader Hardeep Singh Nijjar outside a Sikh temple in British Columbia last year. Nijjar was a prominent leader in a movement to form an independent Sikh homeland in India. Last week, The Washington Post revealed senior members of India's spy agency were directly involved in a foiled plot to kill a prominent Sikh activist who lives here in New York City. And the acclaimed British-Palestinian surgeon, Ghassan Aboussita, was denied entry to France on Saturday, despite an invitation to speak to members of the French Senate about his time volunteering with Workers Without Borders in Gaza. This comes weeks after Germany barred Aboussita from attending a Palestinian conference in Berlin. Germany's reportedly placed a one-year ban on Aboussita from entering any country in Europe's border-free zone. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's ordered 100,000 Palestinians living in eastern Rafah to evacuate ahead of an Israeli offensive on the southern Gaza city, where more than 1.4 million displaced Palestinians have sought refuge. This comes as Israeli authorities have taken Al Jazeera off the air inside Israel. On Sunday, police officers raided the network's Jerusalem bureau, seizing broadcasting equipment. Israel's Foreign Press Association called it a, quote, dark day for democracy. The move came just 2 days after World Press Freedom Day. Over the past 8 months, Al Jazeera has been one of the only international outlets with reporters on the ground inside Gaza. This is a pre-recorded video message by Al Jazeera's Imran Khan from East Jerusalem.
If you're watching this pre-recorded report, then Al Jazeera has been banned in the territory of Israel. On April the 1st, the Knesset, the Israeli parliament, passed a law that allowed the prime minister to ban Al Jazeera. He's now enacted that law. Let me just take you through some of the definitions within the law. They've banned our website, including anything that has the option of entering or accessing the website, even passwords that are needed, whether they're paid or not, and whether it's stored on Israeli servers or outside of Israel. The website is now inaccessible. They're also banning any device used for providing content. That includes my mobile phone. If I use that to do any kind of news gathering, then the Israelis can be confiscated. Our internet access provider, the guy that simply hosts AlJazeera.net, is also in danger of being fined if they host the website. The Al Jazeera TV channel, completely banned. Transmission by any kind of content provider is also banned. And holding offices or operating them in the territory of Israel by the channel. Also, once again, any devices used to provide content for the channel can be taken away by the Israelis. It's a wide-ranging ban. We don't know how long it will be in place for, but it does cover this territory of the state of Israel. Imran Khan, Al Jazeera. Occupied East Jerusalem.
Again, that's a pre-recorded video message by Al Jazeera correspondent Imran Khan from East Jerusalem. As the death toll in Gaza approaches 35,000, with more than 78,000 people wounded in Israeli attacks since October 7th, we're joined in Doha, Qatar, by Mohammed Mouawad, managing editor of Al Jazeera, joining us from the studios of Al Jazeera. Welcome to Democracy Now! Can you start off by responding to Israel's move and what this means for Al Jazeera?
Thank you, Sammy, for having me, and thanks for following this story. It's a series of intimidations that the Israeli government are placing on us. And this move is within the same loop of failure that the Israeli government have entered since the beginning of this war. First, they have intimidated us to try and stop the message, the coverage of Al Jazeera from inside Gaza. After they have failed, they shot the messenger, actually three messengers of Al Jazeera, three correspondents, and that did not stop our coverage. So now they are back again and trying to stop our coverage or try to delegitimize the coverage by saying that we don't operate in Israel. And we consider this an attack on the journalistic community in all, and we consider it a criminal act, because this is against and a violation, a clear violation to the international human rights laws.
Can you explain what happened this weekend? How you found out that Al Jazeera banned the raiding of your offices in Jerusalem? Describe the whole sequence.
If you go back like 3 months back, the Israeli government have been threatening Al Jazeera, intimidating Al Jazeera by saying that they are going to vote for a law to block Al Jazeera for 45 days under the umbrella of the emergency actions that they are taking because of the war, the ongoing war. So we've been hearing that, like our colleagues at Haaretz, who were threatened to be defunded because they are against the national security of Israel, as the Prime Minister Netanyahu's government stated. We've been hearing that they are going to put the vote for the cabinet to pass, and it took them 3 months up until yesterday. They have listed it on the top of the agenda of the government. They voted in favor anonymously. And the Minister of Communications took actions on the ground to block our coverage by seizing our signal with the cable companies in Israel and raiding our locations. They have raided a remote location, live position, where our colleagues at Al Jazeera English were broadcasting, and they have placed a blockage on our office in Jerusalem. And of course, this law is ambiguous. I mean, they can take actions as much as Prime Minister Netanyahu is concerned. They can do the same with our office in Ramallah in the West Bank, because they can say that this is under the umbrella of the emergency law.
Do you think that the banning starting this weekend, and can you explain, does this go for 45 days or is it indefinite? Do you think that there is a direct relationship between the banning of Al Jazeera, which is one of the few international news organizations that have journalists on the ground in Gaza, and Israel announcing and dropping flyers in southern Rafah telling people to leave because of an imminent invasion?
Of course, Amy, this move is politicized. I mean, anything taken against Al Jazeera is a politicization by the Israeli government and Prime Minister Netanyahu against a journalism organization, Al Jazeera. But for us, we consider it, part of a sequence of intimidations. We have three colleagues killed on the front lines, families targeted of our colleagues, and for us, we don't want to be dragged in the political realm. We prefer to be in the journalistic realm, but apparently the Israeli government, for a country that's called itself a democracy, is taking the same actions that were taken against us back in the aftermath of the Arab Spring, when a bunch of authoritarian regimes banned Al Jazeera and closed our offices under the umbrella of violating or threatening the national security, which is a very ambiguous and baseless and unfounded claims. By the way, Amy, it is very important to mention that our coverage does include the Israeli side. We have from the beginning, aired all the press conferences for the Israeli officials. Why this might anger our audience, because they feel like this is uncomfortable for them to be watching the statements of the Israeli government, and at the same time we air all the atrocities happening in Gaza, but we are committed to the impartial coverage, and we continued that. So we consider all the events on the ground as events that we continue to cover from inside Gaza, but of course we cannot disconnect it from the fact that the Israeli government is trying to conceal what's happening in Gaza and try to intimidate Al Jazeera and block Al Jazeera's coverage and delegitimize the whole coverage by saying they don't operate in Israel. They are a one-sided kind of coverage. But we are committed to staying objective, and that's our goal and our ethic from code of ethics from the beginning of the launch of this organization in the Middle East 25 years back.
Today, Israel marked Holocaust Remembrance Day, the anniversary of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. At a wreath-laying event at Israel's National Holocaust Museum and Memorial in Jerusalem, video shows Prime Minister Netanyahu being heckled with calls to resign. This is what happened. Apparently, the protester said in Hebrew, quote, "We must not descend into the abyss again. What else is necessary for you to go home?" he said to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Your response, Mohammed Mouawad.
Well, this is one of the events that Al Jazeera could have covered yesterday, but our correspondent wasn't able to reach the area because we abide by the laws. We don't want to violate it because our colleagues are operating under the Israeli law in Israel and in Jerusalem. Our colleague today appeared live from Ramallah, from the West Bank, where we moved all our colleagues there, and we covered these events remotely. Of course, we will keep the space for this kind of coverage, and we'll make sure that what's happening inside Israel is on our screen. But still, the one who is not benefiting from that is the Israeli side. We want to stay impartial, but these kind of important events, the turmoil that Israel is going through, isn't we're not able to cover like before after this decision.
The Israeli communications minister, Shlomo Karhi, said, "We finally are able to stop Al Jazeera's well-oiled incitement machine that harms the security of the country." Your response?
Of course, this is the same thing that we have heard before in the Middle East as well, when we get both sides to speak. I mean, the fact that they call the other party of the conflict bad people doesn't mean that a news organization won't deal with it. I mean, we report both sides. We have the Palestinian side and the Israeli side. We report both sides. And what the Israeli government is bragging about is trying to censor our coverage or try to intimidate us to have us not cover the other side of the story. We are committed to that. We're covering from Gaza with six correspondents on the ground. We are the only news organization on earth covering from north of Gaza. And we call all the international community to act, the journalistic community specifically, because up until now, we are 7 months in this war and the atrocities happening in Gaza, and you don't have an international journalist entered Gaza because the Israeli government is preventing this from happening. So it's a strategy that the Israeli government is working upon from the beginning of the conflict, is try to make sure that the story doesn't reach the world. But guess what? any reporting of Al Jazeera is corroborated by other news organizations. We get called up by ABC, CNN, NBC, all the news organizations around the globe to ask us to get the rights of the footage that we get from inside Gaza. And our reporting is the base for so many investigation reports that happened and that was broadcasted in so many channels around the globe.
We're talking to Mohammed Mouawad, Al Jazeera's managing editor, speaking from the studios of Al Jazeera in Doha. I wanted to ask you about the killings and woundings of journalists. This Saturday, May 11th, will mark 2 years since the Palestinian-American Al Jazeera Arabic reporter Shireen Abu Akleh was killed by Israeli gunfire while on assignment in the West Bank for Al Jazeera outside the Jenin refugee camp. Since October 7th, there have been reportedly over 50 attacks against Al Jazeera journalists. In December, Al Jazeera cameraman Samer Abu Dhaka was killed by an Israeli drone attack, as he reported in Khan Yunis. Longtime Gaza correspondent Wael al-Dadu was also injured in the attack. Then in January, his son, Hamza, also a journalist, along with videographer Mustafa Thurayo, were killed in an Israeli drone strike. I remember watching Al Jazeera that day when reporters at Al Jazeera in your studios in Doha held up signs of the killed and the injured. Mohammed Mouawad, can you respond to what the kind of toll that this attack on Gaza and, of course, in the case of Shireen Abu Akleh, that was 2 years ago in the West Bank, has taken on your staff, on your reporters, and beyond Al Jazeera, over, according to CPJ, Committee to Protect Journalists, over 100 media workers.
We remember Shireen Abu Akleh every day now with what's happening in Gaza and, the devastating loss of our colleagues on the front line. We remember Shireen Abu Akleh because now we understand that when the whole the journalistic community and the international community let this go without holding the Israeli government accountable for this, the killing of Shireen Abu Akleh, who was covering not a war like what's happening in Gaza right now, but was covering an incident, an Israeli operation in Jenin, when the international community was silent, with this crime, then came other crimes and other crimes followed. So what we want right now is from the international community, the journalistic community, is to show strong actions against the Israeli government, place pressure for the United States. We are still waiting for a statement from the White House, from the State Department, to comment on what's happened with our offices in Jerusalem and Israel. This is very important right now. We haven't seen a statement yet, and this is very important for the United States, who is talking about preventing the harming of journalists around the globe and defending democracy. So we're still waiting for a statement from the United States. We call upon the international community to intervene, because this is a kind of an intimidation to the whole journalistic community, to try to make sure that Gaza story isn't out there in the world, and try to make sure that we don't give voice to the voiceless. We report a one side only of the story from the Israeli side, and we don't talk about what's happening in Gaza.
We want to thank you so much for being with us, and condolences on the death of so many journalists at Al Jazeera. Mohammed Mouawad, we thank you so much for being with us, managing editor of Al Jazeera, speaking to us from Al Jazeera headquarters in Doha, Qatar. Coming up, as the World Food Program warns northern Gaza is experiencing a full-blown famine, we'll get a report from a doctor just out. Stay with us.
منك الفؤاد المعذب ونجم الذور.
transplanted heart by Dalal Abu Amne.